The Warriors are back at it after picking up a win at Chase Center last night. They go out on the road where the wins have been hard to find. They are in Los Angeles to take on the Clippers. Last night, Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins made a very good 1-2 punch. They only get one of those punches tonight. I guess the good news is that it's going to be Klay, although we haven't seen a lot of Wiggins on back-to-back. The reason why Wiggins isn't playing tonight, though, isn't listed as load management or anything like that. It's listed as a personal reason. So we hope that there's nothing wrong with his personal circle, shall we say. This is what Klay said last night about what he thought Wiggins was doing and how well he'd been cooking lately.
Wiggins is so good on both sides of the ball, and he just energizes everybody when he's around the rim, finishing, hitting jumpers, guarding the team's best player. And said it before, we're so lucky to have him, and great night for him. I was really happy with his aggressiveness. I love that he led the team in field goal attempts. That gets all of us excited.
Again, they want him to be more aggressive, and especially in Curry's absence, it's the perfect time for him to accept that challenge. Tonight, the challenge is going to be winning down in Los Angeles without him. Finding a quick start tonight is going to be part and parcel to get you even thinking about winning this game this evening. It feels like it's going to be uphill sledding the entire way, because not only are the Clippers well-rested, they're waiting to debut. Well, they'll be debuting Bones Highland and Mason Plumlee, and look who's back, Eric Gordon, after so many years. So they're getting help based on decisions made at the trade deadline, and we all know, based on decisions and circumstances from the trade deadline, the Warriors aren't getting help anytime soon because they decided to still greenlight a trade that leaves them with a doctor's note, not an actual player to come help them right now.
Well, they maneuvered themselves into a what is your standard Hobson's choice, which is no matter what you choose, you're not getting what you want. And the fact is they had
to. It's also a really good rum bar on Haight Street.
Well, if they bring samples, I'll back your play. If not, then I don't know them. They didn't have a choice but to make the deal, because either way, they were going to have no player. And because they're not going to play, they weren't going to play Wiseman, and they can't play Payton. So now, they worked hard to try to move Wiseman, and this was the best they could do. And that they had to involve two other teams to make this thing work at all, and that the team that we're talking about the most, Portland, was not interested in Wiseman. That, to me, suggests that Wiseman was, that they were fortunate to find anybody to take him, and that it took a lot of other people throwing a lot of other pieces in the air to make it work. So I think they recognized that whatever it was they got, or in this case didn't get for Wiseman, was worth it to them, because they shaved so much money off their tax bill, if nothing else, because they were never going to use him. That ship had sailed. And when you accept a trade like this for essentially nobody, you're essentially just putting him on the lawn like a couch. Just here, and hanging a sign that says free.
You don't see a lot of second overall couches drafted, and the couch draft hit the lawn, though. Especially not when you hardly got to sit on them at all in the living room. And that, I think, is why this remains mysterious. Not only the circumstances of what brought him here, but the circumstances of how he leaves, and the fact that we never really got to get a definitive answer other than the undeniable, you know, deafening silence of all the coaching DNPs. I reject the notion that there's no time to actually see if he can fit or not. I mean, you can't tell me that the NBA is, by definition, too long of a year, and still find yourself incapable of squeezing in 8 minutes for a guy that you are drafting to be not even what you hope he can be today, but what he might be tomorrow. And you got to reveal if there is reason enough to believe he might be that tomorrow. Now, maybe the Warriors have just absolutely definitively have told us what they really think. And Steve Kerr can say all the nice things about James Wiseman, but the truth is, what they're looking at is just a kid who simply cannot play. Not even cannot play for them, but just moreover cannot play. I mean, that's pretty much what they told you.
Well, I don't know if they told us the second part, but they did tell us that he can't play for them. The truth is, we don't know if he can play in the league at all. That's what the Detroit option will probably show us. If he thrives in a situation where there is no pressure on him, you know, maybe he becomes a journeyman. If he struggles in Detroit, maybe your assessment is right, is that he can't play at this level at all.
Are we talking about this is Patrick McCaw?
Patrick McCaw had some use. I mean, James Wiseman...
But he's out of the league now. He's out of the league now,
but it wasn't like... We saw 60 games, we're fed up. You know, he lasted a while, and he lasted on a couple of other teams.
He got a second NBA contract. Maybe James Wiseman gets a second NBA contract. If he gets a third, the Warriors have... Unless he's, you know, just that typical journeyman center big who is a career 7-3... In which case, you don't need to say, well, they botched that, because that's a career, but not really a career all at the same time. Here's the thing. Big men basically come in two sizes. Two different flavors. You're either made out of stone from head to toe, but at the hands, it begins nice, Charmin, soft hands. Or you're Charmin everywhere, except when you get to the hands, and then those are made out of stone. If the Warriors would just be honest and tell us he is all Charmin except the stone hands... then I get why they moved on. I really do. But otherwise, the fact that they couldn't coach a fit out of him, couldn't get him even to work for them situationally, it still feels like a little bit of not only a failure on James Wiseman's inability to get it, but on this coaching staff's ability to get it into him. Now, you also can't turn a guy who can't play into a player. Jermaine O'Neal is the best case scenario, right? Isn't that what everyone was hoping on? Here's a guy who had, you know, right out of high school, and it was all handed to him too fast. It didn't work out well at all, but he eventually got it.